Welcome back. We're here now with Media Communications Advisory Board, and I'll turn the floor over to them for the presentation. And please introduce yourself for the public.
Jim Kravitz, Chairman, and
I'm Don Herbert, Director of Public Information and Liaison to the Media Board.
The Media Communications Advisory Board, we do a lot more things than people do realize. We provide advice recommendation to the supervisors on the development of all forms of media communication for the township and how to disseminate that out to the citizens of the township. That is, if you could see that, that is the members of our board. Dave Rausbach's the vice chair, Greg Wax is our supervisor liaison. Don, as you met, is our staff liaison. Bill Carroll, Michael Cordero, Maxine Gasaldi, Cameron Lassiter, and are our members. And Laura Lai Bonifani is our young adult member.
And we do have a vacancy. Yeah. So if you know about technology, websites, television communication, streaming, and you'd like to participate and make a contribution to the township, please submit an application.
One of the things that was done this year is actually done by the Board of Supervisors is they've established the Howard Hoffman Distinguished Service Award. Howard was a member of multiple advisory boards for many, many years and just a great guy in general. And with his passing last year, they decided to have a award that would be presented annually to a member of one of the citizens' boards that exemplifies outstanding dedication, leadership, and service to the community, just as Howard did in his life. The plaque showing the winners will be hung in the township building for all to see, and I'm really moved by having this award in Howard's honor, because he really was a great guy.
So this is a mock-up of a design that I put together. It is subject to the supervisor's final approval. It has the name at the top and then this verbiage of presented annually, but then underneath in the smaller print is a description of who Howard was, his 28 years of service. I thought it was important that we explain who the person was that this is named after. Rather than, 5 years from now, somebody looking at it and go, who is Howard? What did he do? So that's the design mock-up that I put together. And like I said, the board will have to approve it. The expectation is, I'm not exactly sure how the nomination and voting will go to pick the citizens board member who will be honored each year. But I think the expectation is that we have the appreciation social every fall, and it would be announced at that time. So we wanted to make sure we had it in place. And we also did submit to the BCA to help fund it. So okay. Yes. we're hoping to have luck there.
The cable franchise fees, what that is when the cable companies like Verizon and Comcast, when they come into a township, they run their cable line either on the telephone poles or underground. So they have to pay a franchise fees for being able to put their equipment, so to speak, into the township. So for Comcast, from 2024 to 2025, it pretty much stayed pretty much the same, maybe a slight down $19,000 from $362,000 to $343,000 and change. So there was a slight decrease there. And same with Verizon. From 2024 to 2025, it was about a $14,600 decrease. So the franchise fees are going down due to the fact that some people are cutting the cable. But also there's other things going on in the industry, like There's talk that it may go all Wi-Fi at some point. So that also would decrease franchise fees if we no longer need the cabling. As you can see, how over the years, in 2017, I guess that was the peak of it. And then again, in bounced up a little bit in 2021 because of COVID. People were staying in more and watching more TV, getting more services from the provider. So basically, these cable companies have to pay us a piece of that franchise fee for putting their equipment on the township property. So when you see your bill every month, you'll see this little franchise fee in there, and now you know what you're paying for. So,
but it is all based on cable subscriptions.
Correct.
So as those subscriptions are, you know, people are not subscribing to cable, that's why the number is going down. Streaming is becoming, and we don't get any piece of internet service. So this year we did, or last year, we did finalize the franchise agreement with Verizon. And part of that, we did get a $45,700 equipment grant. So we've received that money, and we have spent some of it on some new gear that we wouldn't otherwise have been able to get. So one of our big projects for last year was establishing a new website. It was launched in September of 25.
And if you haven't been to it yet, please log on and go to our website. We're really proud of the work that all of us, including Donna, put into it to upgrade it. And we feel it's a very good and great upgrade from what it was in the past. So if you haven't been in there, log on. It's easy to navigate. There's also a chat bot if you really can't find something that could help you, direct you to where to find it. And there's a lot of really valuable information there about the community and all that's offered.
Some of the features that are improvement over the previous technology is that it's a more user-friendly interface. There's enhanced menus. When you click on something, you get more the menu items than you did before. There's better search functions than the previous website had. We do have an alert center, so when we have like a snow emergency or traffic closure or something like that, we can post that on the website. We do have ADA compliance modules that allow you to change like the color of the images on the website. If you have difficulty seeing, you can change the size of the font. There's a bunch of features that a module allows you to control to your own needs. There is a language translation. It's done by Google Translations. I think there's like something like 72 different languages. When you click on it, there's a menu that you can choose which language you want. There is expanded storage for large files like development plans and things of that nature, where previously we had to accommodate those outside the website. And there is an enhanced search function with a chatbot. We did run a chatbot naming contest. Did you want to talk about that?
We did, and we received quite a few entries, a lot of entries actually. And what happened was we chose the best five names that we thought from the nearly 100 entries, and the Board of Supervisors had the final decision, and the winner is Fred, the Prince of Prussia. And if you go to the website, you will see that exact emoji right there, or the avatar right there of Fred. There's been a big, another thing we've been involved with a lot is expanding our social media outreach to the community.
There was something I did want to mention though. With a chatbot, it usually takes about a year for it to mature and to have proficient knowledge of the website and information in order to answer the inquiries adequately and accurately. So there is a learning curve. We have seen an improvement since, you know, the beginning of the launch, but it does take some time. So it may not be perfect right now, but it is improving each week. I just wanted to touch on that. Sorry, Jim, didn't mean to interrupt you.
As I said, you know, we're really trying to improve our social media outreach to the community. And for our Facebook followers, we currently have 1,700. We're averaging over 100 new followers each month, and we expect that to continue to grow. And on Instagram, we have 3,788 followers, averaging just under 50 followers, new followers a month. And LinkedIn, 283, and we're averaging about 6 new followers each month. We expect it to continue to grow, and it's another way that we can disseminate information out to the community. So be sure to every now and then stop in and see our Facebook page, our Instagram, and our LinkedIn.
Yeah, some of the methods that we have in the department to use in the township to get information out to the public, the LED sign on the corner here by the township building at Henderson Valley Forge, on that we post citizens board vacancies, job opportunities, upcoming events, closing and cancellations, AMBER and FEMA alerts, and many more, you know, things. We've found this to be extremely useful. Several positions have been filled by them being advertised on there. One of the members of our media board found out about it by being posted on there. And we are in the process of trying to see if we can find another location somewhere out, somewhere else in a different area of the township. We've been exploring different possibilities, but still working out some details and getting more information. But because this one has been so successful, we want to get it in more places. Outside in the atrium in the township building on the upper level, there's a monitor right outside of Freedom Hall. We post things on there like sitting board bacon. It's similar to some degree of the LED sign, except on there we're able to promote or play video promos and advertisements and things. And we also, we have some sponsorships that Jerry Vitimo coordinates, and part of that is exposure on that monitor. So some of the other things that we do to get information out to the public is we use the Montgomery County's Ready Monco system, which is powered by Everbridge. They've populated a large number of the contacts on there, and then we solicit anybody else who wants to sign up and go on the site, and they can select whether or not they want emergency alerts or if they want community events or if they want both. More often than not, I post them for, occasionally we have a sinkhole once or twice, and we tell people to try to avoid that intersection or something of that nature. If there's snow emergencies, we put building closures, things of that nature. So twice a year, we put out a publication called Township Lines. It covers the seasonal things. I'm currently working on the next edition, hope to have it out in a couple of weeks. It's available online. We advertise it in the e-newsletter and send out notifications so you can access it, like I said, online. The township does a weekly e-newsletter. It goes out every Friday afternoon at 1. But we also have the children's department in the library, the adult department in the library, the parks and rec department, and also the farmers market. We have multiple. And you can see that we have, we've increased about nearly 4% on the township one. The children's has 2,400, the adult has 3,000, Parks and Rec has over 5,500, and the farmers market has over 3,200. So we utilize a lot of different ways to get information out and also targeting to particular groups. And you can log in, if you have a particular interest in the farmer's market or the Parks and Rec, you can log into those or subscribe to those.
Well, you could also subscribe right on the website itself to the e-newsletter as well. And that way you'll get current information weekly on what's going on in the township.
We also have a welcome packet for new residents. It's full of information about our services and like who your government officials are, the services the township provides. There's a lot of information in there. You can get that at the admin receptionist window here, or it's available online. You can click on it and access it that way, or if you prefer, we let us know and we can mail a copy out to you. So we still broadcast on the cable channels, regardless of the number of people who may have cut the cord. We're on Comcast Channel 22 here in the township, and we're on Verizon 33 here in the township, but it's also, because of the way Verizon's technology is engineered, some people see it outside the township. I live in Whitpain, and before I cut the cord, I could see the channel on Verizon. One of our guys works up towards Pennsburg or Parkersby in that area, and he can see the channel. So I'm not quite sure why Verizon's technology is engineered that way, and Comcast is very specific to the township, but that's how they have it structured. We do also provide live streaming of our cable channel on the website, so if you don't have the cable, you can go on the website and watch the 24/7 broadcast that we put out all day. We also maintain a Vimeo channel online, which is our on-demand. So most of our programming gets uploaded there, and you can watch that from anywhere in the world. You can watch our shows. We've checked some of the analytics, and we find that some people have from across the world have accessed some of our shows. So I think that's interesting. We do maintain a series of podcasts. Every Board of Supervisors meeting gets converted to audio, so you can listen to that while you're driving. We do our talk shows, we convert those to audio. So we no longer actively produce Book Chat or Remember When, but they're there for your listening, and we'd like to have those in the archive. And we do news briefs of like special excerpted things like presentations at board meetings and things like that. So we put those out as audio as well. And we have a sample video. It's a little under 4 minutes to show you some of the things that we've done.
Of hikes, are there different distances, or is it usually one uniform hike?
So we have 3.25 miles of unique trails in the park, and we have a couple loops essentially. So they're roughly 1.5 mile loop each, round numbers. So depending on the age of the group and the ability of the group, so sometimes we have seniors that come out, and we don't take the steeper hills, or certainly with young kids, we don't take the steeper hills.
It's always a special day at the Upper Marion Farmers Market, and today is an extra special day. We end our season every year with the annual Chili Cook-Off. So the Chili Cook-Off has been an ongoing tradition for 15 years. So the way the Chili Cook-Off works is people do an application and submit different various chilies. This great event has been going on for about 2 decades. It's an annual event that happens every year. There's information here about fire prevention.
Get ready for a dynamite summer this year at the Upper Marion Township Library. read books to earn amazing prizes.
Sign up and log your reading at umtlreads.org.
You can also download the Beanstack mobile app.
Or stop in the library to use one of our computers to log your reading.
In July of 2025, the Board of Supervisors adopted a resolution to honor civic responsibility in our community, and we adopted a resolution that September became the month of service. So every year going forward.
Thank you, Tina. Good afternoon, everyone. And Tina, thank you for thanking everyone, because that now takes away my first paragraph. I'm really pleased to say that in today's world, when you ask for an ambulance in Upper Marion Township, you get that level of care. You can get, depending on the nature of the situation, a fire engine fully staffed with EMS trained personnel, and our volunteers at some level are trained in emergency medicine as well. Now we've expanded the service, and we not just have our traditional EMS providers, but we took on the role a while back of pediatric specialists, and we provide that specialty pediatric care. Then we decided, you know, we could probably design a system to train our EMS personnel. And with that came our own EMS Institute. And today, the stroke unit. And what a way to put some ice cream on top of that cone, so to speak. This is just a great enhancement to the services that we're able to provide.
So the public information staff consists of me, the director. Tiffany Bellany is our marketing and communications manager. Olivia DeLuca is now our community engagement coordinator. Jeff Roninski is our producer and director, and we have a part-time staff, Andrew McBride, Sean Sealer, and Danny Shields. And they all work very diligently throughout the year, a lot of different capacities and capabilities. We would not have the services and the expansive information going out to the public without this group of people. That concludes our prepared presentation.
Our BOS liaison for our media board is present this evening. Usually we lead off with that person being able to open up questions and comments. So I don't know if anyone else has anything they'd like to contribute or ask.
Thank you for all you're doing.
And Tina, I wanted to thank you.
Sure.
I wanted to thank you for being such a regular spokesperson.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that was a little overkill, but you're welcome.
I did. We threw Bill in there for a little break.
I appreciate that you did that.
I would like to comment on one thing, Dawn, and you probably don't even know that this happens, but the fire companies every year compile a fire prevention compendium, which is submitted to the State Firemen's Association for evaluation on our fire safety education and fire prevention programs. There are a couple of core components of that submission that you are actually responsible for. Number one are the repetitive messages that you have on TV, on UMGA TV, that are saying, first of all, the fire prevention activities themselves. I know the Fire Marshal and Chief Johnson have been repetitive members of your cadre of spokespersons on different things, from smoke alarms to open burning, and I can go on, but that's one thing. And then the other thing are the specials that you do that have anything to do with public safety. We incorporate those, and that little messaging like dial 911 in an emergency and check your smoke detectors monthly. All of that goes in and helps us build the fact that we have, between those and the giant event and everything else that we do, over a million contacts a year with the general public on fire safety education. Fire and injury prevention, because EMS is rolled into that too. Nobody in this state has been able to touch us in contact points or diversity of messaging in the past 5 or 6 years. So thank you for your support from your team to make those awards happen. And it's not about the award per se, it's about the ability to do that and let other people know how it can be done.
Well, I'll say two things. One, and I hope this doesn't sound too obvious. But we wouldn't be able to do this if we didn't have the support of the supervisors. And yesterday, we just recorded a half-hour talk show about the MSUs. Dr. Wong was here, and Dr. Mitol, the neurologist. So we have the Dr. Wong participates in the field unit agola, and then Dr. Mitol is a neurologist who's at the hospital communicating with the MSU on site and en route. So they explained what a stroke is, what causes a stroke, how do you identify a stroke, and then how the staff, how specifically trained they are for their particular roles. And you likened it to like a NASCAR pit crew. Everybody has their role and they're trained in it, and they, and it's, you know, because the most important thing with a stroke is quick treatment, and the crews are trained on that. So we wanted to get that information out. We just recorded that yesterday.
Yep. And there are two great spokespersons for that.
Excuse me?
They are two great spokespersons for that.
Yes. So, yes, they're very knowledgeable, and I mean, they're in the program. They participate. You know what I mean? It's not just
hands
somebody
on.
Who's aware of it.
Yeah, they're hands-on.
Yeah, they're hands-on. Thank you for your hands-on. Yes.
I just want to comment on, I like what you designed for the Howard Hoffman Award. Is that going to be the final design?
Okay.
Although I would suggest that maybe Don is not the recipient in 2027.
There was a few samples.
Yeah. Is that your name on all three of those?
No. It's just 2027.
Jeff's on there too.
I wanted to design it in a way that I didn't want to abbreviate the communication, like the name of the. We have some of the names of our citizen boards are fairly long. And I didn't want to do ECDC or EAC or something like that. So I wanted to make sure there was room to have the entire. So it's designed that you have the year of the award, and then the name of the recipient, and then the board that they serve on. And I just didn't think it was fair to just put ECDC, even though that's one of the longest names. So it's specifically designed a certain way to accommodate all that. So I wanted to put a couple different samples on to make sure they would fit.
So far there's only one recipient. It's named after Howard Hoffman.
It's named after Howard.
So I would have thought he'd be the first recipient.
Well, that's up to the supervisor.
Yeah.
That's up to the
I think that was a good decision. And as I recall, I mentioned that originally because I've been on boards where they've had to do something like that. And the first recipient is always the person who's being honored, who the award is actually going to be named for. And I think it was great to do that for Howard, great to do that in the way that we did it, and just look forward to whoever the candidates are going to be this year. I guess we have to figure that out.
And what this, what the plan will be, how to do it,
and
process.
I think this is a great idea, not just to honor Howard, but to recognize the different volunteers year in and year out,
But to recognize why it's the Howard Hoffman Award, why we named it for him, because of the things he did for Upper Marion as an advisory board member, and for the length of time that he did it. Those are the key.
There's not a lot of advisory board members that have done it for nearly three decades.
Like he did.
So I've been here, this coming August will be 26 years, and Howard was on the board the entire time. So he predated me. So I worked with Howard very closely. So I'm still feeling the effect of his loss.
Your entire career you were here. The media board and PIO office are certainly the bridge between the public and staff, business meetings, all of that happens, the governance of the township. So without your contributions, that communication link wouldn't exist. So very grateful for all the different avenues of ways that you get information out to the public, for all of them. It's just very appreciated and done well and thorough, and you're always looking for additional ways to, like looking for an additional location for a sign to get word out, maybe in the opposite side of the township. You're always trying to be creative with just trying to get the word out to the public with important information about the township. So much appreciation for that.
Thank you. We do our best, and as I said, the other members of the board are really top-notch people and are very learned and great people to work with, for sure.
Is there anything else from anyone you'd like to share? Okay, at this time then, we'll take a brief recess, and then we'll be back shortly with the Historical Commission. Thank you.
Thank you.